You are Locked On Lions, your daily Detroit Lions podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Final podcast of the year 2020. Matt Derry with you. It's Locked On Lions on the Locked On Podcast Network on this New Year's Eve day, December 31st into a Friday, January 1st. Welcome, everybody, to the program. It is a Locked On crossover Thursday. Lucas Braun, the host of Locked On Vikings, will join me as the Lions will take on the Vikes coming up Sunday afternoon at Ford Field. So we'll hear from Luke coming up momentarily. We're brought to you by our friends at Pepsi. Made for football watching, thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they join another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different. Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day. No matter how you watch, it's the refreshment you need to power through any game day. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi. Made for football watching. We'll get you an injury report, an update on what's going on with the Lions as they get ready for this game on Sunday. One guy we will not see is Kenny Golladay. I want to talk about his situation. We'll do that momentarily. You can follow me on Twitter at Derry Speaks, D-E-R-Y Speaks, at Locked On Lions, and also the Matt Derry Facebook fan page. It is our final show of the calendar year 2020. We'll be with you after the game on Sunday. I just want to thank everybody for listening, participating, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, sticking with us. It's been an interesting year. It's been a really terrible calendar year from such a huge standpoint with the pandemic and everything else. And look, I'm a parent. Many of you listening are parents. You know what you've gone through with your kids and having to quarantine and homeschooling and e-learning and everything that we've been through. And for Lions fans, you hope that 2021 is better, because certainly this past year was an unmitigated disaster. The teams won 5 football games, the firings, everything else. And we'll see where this all goes. But I just want to shout everybody out that listens and pays attention and participates with us. I really appreciate you guys. And this is my 5th season doing this show, going back to 2016, and I really enjoy doing it, and I want to thank all of you for your listenership and your friendship, for many of you as well. Kenny Golladay, Darrell Bevell said today, is not expected to play Sunday again for the Lions in their game against the Minnesota Vikings. Kenny Golladay has been out since November 1st, all right? He's going to be missing the last 11 games of the season with a hip injury. I have done research. I've talked to sources. I've tried to unearth some sort of story here, or at least a reason why this hip injury, which was supposed to keep him out a few weeks, and then he had a little bit of a setback, has kept him out 2 months. 2 months. Kenny Golladay has been out with a hip injury. Didn't have surgery. They never put him on the injured list. It's been week to week since November 1st. And again, he's going to miss the last 11 games of the season. And some people will say, well, wait a minute. What's going on here? Is there an underlying factor? Remember, Kenny Golladay is a free agent at the end of this year. And the Lions did their damnedest under Bob Quinn's leadership to try and get Kenny Golladay extended and get him a long-term contract for months, both in the offseason and leading into the regular season. All right, Golladay wanted more money than Bob Quinn was willing to give. They negotiated for a while, and Golladay spouted off on Instagram after the big game that he had against Arizona. Maybe it was the Atlanta game where he had 6 catches for 114 yards, and he basically was like, you're going to have to pay me. So I don't remember what he wrote on Instagram. So now, here we are going into week 17, and he's going to miss his 11th straight game with a hip injury that the team has never disclosed was major, never put him on injury reserve, nothing. So it's almost like maybe Golladay and his agent said, we're shutting this down. Will Kenny Golladay be back next year? I don't know. But if I'm the Lions, I do everything I can to keep your best wide receiver. A guy that racked up 1,000 yards the last 2 years, each of the last 2 years. Was number one in the NFL in touchdown catches a year ago. He's a former third-round pick. He's young. He's only been in the league 4 years. You want that kind of guy on your team, and you want to extend him long-term. Taylor Decker got an extension. Jared Davis, of course, did not. And he's going to be gone. But Kenny Golladay, to me, this is a layup. But Bob Quinn wouldn't pay him what he wanted. And now you've got, you know, interim folks in the front office. They're not going to get a deal done now. But the question is, with the injury and the fact that he only played in 5 games this year, caught 20 passes for 338 yards and 2 touchdowns, what's his future? And did Kenny Golladay sell out the Lions and say, screw it, I'm not playing. I'll wait for my payday. I'm not going to go out there 80%, 90% with a sore hip and try to give it a go. Till I'm 100%, and maybe he never was. I don't have the answer. Golladay did speak with the media a few weeks ago and said, I'm a loyal guy. I'd love to be here. I think he said all the right things. But don't some of you have the same feeling I do that Kenny Golladay is going to tell the Lions, I don't want to be here? I felt it was a slap in the face the way I was treated last offseason with the offer, and let me out of here. Now, the Lions could tell Kenny Golladay, tough, we're not letting you leave. We'll slap the franchise tag on you. But remember, if the Lions do that, and Golladay's cap hit would be around $15.5 million, they would have very little cap space with Stafford's contract and Golladay's contract and Trey Flowers and some others for this offseason. And if this is a full-fledged rebuild, we might see all those guys gone. And they might just let Golladay walk. But again, who's going to be a wide receiver? Marvin Jones is leaving. Danny Amendola's not coming back. And if Galladay's gone, you're left with Cephas and Agnew. So I'm interested in seeing what they do with Kenny Golladay. He has said publicly he would prefer not to be franchised. He wants a long-term deal. Quote, being honest, I'd rather get a deal done. But if the franchise tag would come, I wouldn't be able to do anything about it. So yeah, for sure, I want to get a long-term deal done. End quote. Very complicated situation with Kenny Golladay. But I have no information or inside info that tells me that he sat out these last 11 games on purpose. I don't have it. I could speculate. I don't really know the guy. He's a pretty quiet dude. But something didn't fit and something wasn't right this year with him. Because when he played, he's really good. He's really good. The plays he made in Atlanta, setting up the game-winning touchdown and everything else, or the tying field goal or whatever it was, the winning field goal, excuse me. He's a baller. And if the Lions are serious about keeping good players around, you want to extend him. The question is, how long is this rebuild, if this is going to be a rebuild for the new general manager? We are going to have to wait and see on that. Don't forget about our friends at betonline.ag. Are you ready for these college football games tomorrow? The Final Four is here. Bama, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Clemson. I think Bama's a 20.5-point favorite, according to betonline.ag, and Clemson's 6.5. You want to bet on those games? Go to betonline.ag, all right, for the best matchups and getting in on the action. There's only one place that has you covered for all these games, the college games, the NFL playoffs coming up next week. Only one place we trust, and that's BetOnline. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Again, college football, bowls in full swing, and the games tomorrow. You want to get on the action with betonline.ag. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. It's the final Locked On crossover Thursday. Matt Derry, Locked On Lions. Week 17, Locked On Vikings. Luke Braun is... We discuss this. What is this, Luke? Is this a matchup? What are we doing here on Sunday?
We finally got a preseason game.
Oh, isn't that great? How you been, buddy?
Oh, you know, it's been up and down with the team. as same as it ever was. How about you?
You know, it's funny. We did so much stuff together in the summer, and we had the NFC North shows, and you know, you host the Viking show. But as the host of the Lions show, I was carrying the torch for the purple and white Gladiators. I was Mr. Viking, saying they're going to win this division. I'm not buying Green Bay. And man, what happened this year?
Well, I think it comes down to a lot of youth. You know, there was the big concern in the offseason was, you know, you're starting, they had 15 rookies coming into camp. They started four or five rookies and more as the season went on, as injuries kind of took their toll. And the worry was always, man, how are you going to start all those rookies when they don't have a preseason? That's going to cause a bunch of catastrophes. And lo and behold, many catastrophes befell the Vikings. You know, they had Cameron Dantzler's playing well now. He's one of the highest graded rookies in the whole league. But first six, seven games, he was a disaster. He was blowing coverages. He was getting killed. Julio Jones gave him his welcome to the NFL moment. He's playing better now, and you know the long-term prospects of that are great, but it did kind of this extra rookie thing, this rebuild on the fly the Vikings tried to do, did cost him too many games in the early parts. If they were able to just go, you know, 500 in that first six, seven games, they'd be looking at a playoff spot. And instead they came out with so much of a catastrophe. They had to basically be perfect down the season, down the second half of the season to make it into the postseason. And they were a little bit short of perfect.
Luke, you know, if you had to, you talked about the youth a little bit and certainly the issues defensively. And boy, last couple of weeks with all the injuries, I mean, the Vikings can't stop anybody. How bad has that been to watch?
Yeah, this is a chance for are there any contract incentives going on in Detroit that people want to hit?
Oh, man.
This is a chance to pad some stats. They are starting nobodies at linebacker. They're starting Blake Lynch, who is an undrafted rookie out of Baylor, who played running back and wide receiver 2 years ago, and then moved to corner and then to safety and now to linebacker, as they've asked him to put on weight. And then that's where he was in Baylor, and now he's playing. So he's played linebacker for like a second and a half. He has no idea what he's doing, what he's looking at. Hardy Nickerson, the son of that Hardy Nickerson, also kind of out of it, and he didn't really make a team. He's been kind of a he was on the poor Bengals defenses and was kind of part of the reason for that. Yeah, they don't really have much to speak of for run defense. If you watch anything that the Saints did, obviously six touchdowns on Christmas for Alvin Kamara, watch the defensive tackles, watch the linebackers, people getting blown off the ball. I've been calling it soft. There's Charmin ultra soft. You can push them around. You can put them wherever you want. You can run on them. You can pass on them, I guess, if you want, although the coverage has gotten a lot better on that back end, and people really haven't needed to, because they can run for 9 yards a play by blowing, you know, Jaleel Johnson and Hercules Mataafa. Right now, they are starting more players that were cut this season than players that were intended week one starters.
Wow.
And it's not close. It's just not the unit the Vikings intended, and it's not the unit any sane team would intend.
Take me through the Kirk Cousins season. Last year, it was like, wow, went on the road and won a playoff game in New Orleans. That's big time. That's why they paid him $30 million a year. If you had to give him a letter grade for this season, what would it be?
A letter grade? I think it's thoroughly a C, but with a lot of A's and F's in there. but I think it all probably averages out to a C. He had some games this year that were kind of disasters where he threw, you know, I go back to that Atlanta game where the Vikings kind of got blown out at home by a winless Atlanta team that just fired their coach. A lot of that was because Kirk Cousins threw three interceptions in the first half and the Vikings were kind of chasing the game from there. There are other games where he was a little too conservative. And there have been a couple games where he really kind of unlocked that peak ability and really played well, especially in clutch moments. You know, what we've seen are improvements, I think, on some of the biggest critiques we had of Kirk Cousins. The idea of him not being able to play under pressure, for example. He was really a lot better at working the pocket, scrambling out, being improvisational. And that's really nice to see. He was definitely, I think, pretty good. I think he was at his best in the fourth quarter. And most of those fourth quarters were not garbage time. They were, you know, one score games, big clutch moments in the game. And I think that's really where Kirk played his best football. But ultimately, I don't think he's consistent enough at doing the things we know he's capable of doing to be the reason you win games. you win the game. He just hasn't really been the reason that they've been losing either. It's kind of the tractor trailer thing that I think is Bucky Brooks kind of lives and dies by, where he's not the tractor, he's the trailer, and that's okay. He's a pretty good trailer, but he ain't going to be the reason. You know, if the Vikings are winning games, it's because the defense is playing better. It's because of, you know, Justin Jefferson. It's because the offensive line finally had a good game. So I give it. It was a fine season for Kirk Cousins. It's certainly not his fault the Vikings aren't in the playoffs. But you know, you could probably identify plenty of places where you could have got more out of a better quarterback.
Boy, Justin Jefferson has been fantastic to watch and quite a find, certainly for Rick Spielman and company. Luke Braun, Locked On Vikings. Matt Derry, Locked On Lions. The big question, you're going to ask me this. Obviously, we saw the Dalvin Cook news on Wednesday. Very sad. He will not play. Tell me about, you know, Alexander Mattison, I'm assuming, and Boone and those guys. But how many of the regulars are going to play? Because the Lions are playing to win this game, even though all of the fan base wants them to lose.
Yeah, and I think the Vikings are going to be the same way here. I'm not sure what the deal is with Alexander Mattison. He was in the concussion protocol, so he actually missed the game last week. And I don't know if he has practiced or not. They haven't, as recording this, they haven't posted the official injury report. But yeah, the Dalvin Cook thing, obviously very sad situation. He's going to go home and be with his family. But it'll probably be Mike Boone, who I think is a little closer to Dalvin Cook in build. His reads aren't necessarily as good. He's not as good at like picking the right gap, but he's got plenty of burst and athleticism. And then, of course, Amir Abdullah, who you guys are pretty familiar with, will probably get a reasonable amount of carries as well. And that'll be kind of your 1-2. What's the point of it all, right? It's only going to be a week 17 game. But, you know, I think both teams are going to go out and try to win this game, because I think there's something as a head coach of saying we were 7-9 versus 6-10. And I think the same kind of thing applies to the Lions, where just that one win kind of changes the feeling of the whole thing. And you got to kind of send a message, especially when you have a young team, to say, hey, no, just go out and win. Don't think about draft position. Don't think about long-term. Don't think about tiebreakers and playoff scenarios and all this. Just go out and beat the team in front of you and let the chips fall where they lie. That's always been the Vikings mentality. So they'll probably apply that here, as much as a lot of the fans want them to lose so they can go up three spots in the draft.
Let's talk about the Lions. We will do that coming up next. First, we got to tell you about our friends at Built Bar. I know Luke's been talking about it. I've been telling you about it for months. Really, it's the best protein bar, best tasting protein bar ever. I know I've ordered a bunch of boxes over the holidays. The white chocolate ones are still there at BuiltBar.com. And the great thing about Built Bar is they're good for you as well. The cookies and cream, 130 calories. Are you joking? So good. 17 grams of protein, 4 grams of sugar, and 4 grams of net carbs. It really is a great tasting protein bar. It tastes like a candy bar. Go to their website now at BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON. You're going to get 20% off your next order. Use the promo code LOCKEDON, again, for 20% off from our friends at BuiltBar.com.
All right, so I'll bring it in. I won't do the tease. All right, it is Crossover Thursday here with Matt Derry, Locked On Lions. I'm Luke Braun of Locked On Vikings. So let's talk about the Lions a little bit, because I'm curious as to where the Lions kind of go from here. I think when we talked over the summer about the Lions, I got the sense from you that you were worried that they were treading water a little bit, that, you know, they,
yes,
they trade away Darius Slay, replace him with Jeffrey Okuda. Best case scenario, that's a wash, right? And that obviously isn't how things turned out. And I'm curious as to where that secondary has been. That Lions secondary has been kind of a linchpin for years back in the Glover Quinn days, and Slay and Quandre Diggs. All those players are gone. So where is this Lions secondary? Is this going to be an offseason priority, or are they still kind of able to find guys?
If Lauren Cox of Locked On Bears and Peter Bukowski of Locked On Packers were to line up at wide receiver this Sunday, the Lions couldn't cover them either. This defense needs an entire overhaul, and that's kind of where this is going. It's like, all right, they're 5-10. Sounds like Matthew Stafford's going to try and play, which he always does. I think if you look into the future, you say, all right, if they keep Stafford and don't trade him, which everything's on the table, and you're going to bring in a new head coach and a new general manager. Stafford's been here 12 years, hasn't won anything. He's a very good quarterback, but again, eventually, he's going to go. Eventually. 2 years left on his deal is this year to do it. But the defense, I mean, Luke, no matter if you bring in a new GM and he says, listen, we're going to win right away, we're not rebuilding, blah, blah, you have to rebuild because the defense is so bad. You talked to me about the secondary. They replaced Slay, with Desmond Trufant and with a rookie in Jeffrey Okuda. Trufant's been hurt all year mostly. Okuda's been injured. When he played, he was ineffective. The safeties are bad. They had Jayron Kearse, your old buddy with the Vikings, starting at safety, starting, because their other two starting safeties, Will Harris and Tracy Walker, couldn't play. So they move a special teamer like Kearse up to play safety. He was suspended the first 3 weeks for issues off the field. And then this week, he's been basically booted off the team for a reported curfew violation the night before the game last week. Yeah.
Oh, that's such a shame.
Yeah,
so much fun here in Minnesota because he was a really good, like, rotational role player, and it seems like that just did not bear out.
No, but he should have been out. He shouldn't have been out there playing every snap as a strong safety. He's a, like you said, a third safety and a special teamer. But he became the Lions' best safety over the last few weeks because Daron Harmon's play has really dropped off, and the other guys aren't good. So, you know, you mentioned the Vikings linebackers. The Lions linebackers are actually healthy. They just suck. That's it's just a big problem. So, you know, the guys up front are a little banged up. I would say the one guy, Romeo Okwara at edge with 9 sacks, has had a nice year. Now, he's a free agent. But other than that, this defense needs
– the first time.
Yeah. You remember.
Yeah,
so
the first time when I was scouting the Lions, Okwara was really like, oh, wow, he's like a powerful – he's a bad matchup for Brian O'Neill.
Yeah, he could have a good game. But that's it, man. If you're sitting here going – well, maybe they only need 4 starters on defense. Maybe they only need 5. No, this team is probably going to need 8 or 9 new starters on defense next season. It's that bad.
Wow. So I guess let's kind of go to that long-term place then, because obviously, you know, Matt Patricia's gone. The GM is gone. You know, is this going to be – did Daryl Bevell earn the job, or are we looking out and saying maybe we could give a call to Eric Bieniemy or Brian Daboll or Robert Slay or any of these guys? What's the temperature in Detroit around Bevell and around that head coaching surge?
I would say Bevell's done a nice job. He's done the best he can do. He's a good guy, Mormon faith, all those things. But no, he's going to be gone. They're all going to be gone. I would assume that there would be – When this thing started and Quinn and Patricia were fired, I said on the show, the two assistants that have the best chance of retaining their positions are Braden Combs, the special teams coach, and Hank Fraley, the O-line coach, who's done a really nice job. Rumors has it Fraley's going to leave and go to UCLA, and Combs got fired weeks ago for calling a fake punt on his own and not telling the rest of the team, or his boss, Daryl Bevell. So it's been that kind of a bleep show here. Braden Combs is a really good special teams coach. Lions are a top 5 special teams unit in the league, according to PFF. So now, yes, I believe if you had to put a gun to my head and say, who's going to be the Lions' next coach, I would guess that Robert Saleh will be the guy. He's from Detroit, wants this job. They need a defensive. They need help on defense. He's been a great coordinator in San Francisco. He would be the leader in the clubhouse, in my opinion, to get this opportunity.
That would be pretty fun. Last time the Vikings met him, it did not go great for Kubiak and Stefanski. He was in the building at the time and all that. But I guess, so what do you think is going to happen with Stafford then? If they do bring in that whole new staff and, you know, you bring in a defensive head coach, that means anything could happen for the offensive coordinator. You could go, you know, to a totally different scheme. You could bring in somebody off of McVay's staff and start running in a wide zone like the Vikings and Packers are. You could go elsewhere. But what does that all mean for Matthew Stafford? Is he going to want to go through another rebuilding year, or is it going to be time to trade him to a team that, you know, got all the pieces and is just a quarterback away?
You know, Luke, if I had to guess, I would say that Matthew Stafford and his wife are going to have to sit down and make the decision. Do we go to Sheila Ford Hamp, the owner, and Rod Wood, the president, and say, guys, get us out of here. We've been here 12 years. We love it here. It's time to go. Or are they so loyal and love this community so much, and Stafford only wants to play in one uniform, and Stafford says, I'm going to honor my contract and be here for 2 more years. That's possible. So also remember, they interviewed Lewis Riddick for the general manager's job. They've interviewed Scott Pioli and Thomas Dimitroff. if all of these guys get a chance, and one of them becomes the GM, let's use Riddick for an example. Lewis has openly said on Monday Night Football and on Twitter, Stafford's great. I love him. I keep him. So let's say Riddick gets a GM job and tells the Fords, I'm not trading the quarterback. Why don't we build around him? And Stafford, there's a chance he stays. But again, they had a chance this past year at number three to draft Stafford's replacement, or at least the next guy in either Tua or Justin Herbert, and they didn't go anywhere near it. They took a cornerback. So now are they going to get a new GM? And if they get the third pick or the fourth pick or fifth, and they can get Justin Fields, would they do that? I don't know. I don't think anybody knows right now.
Yeah, that's what's interesting to me is whose hands is this really in, you know? Because you have to make that decision with Stafford before the draft. You can't, like, draft a rookie, then trade him, right?
Right, right.
Everybody will already have their things set up. There won't be as much of a market. So you kind of have to make that decision, and maybe it depends on the results of this game. If Detroit right now, as it stands, is picking seventh, but there's a huge glut of people. If you win and go 6-10, you could go all the way to 13th, 14th. If you lose and go 5-11, you could fall all the way down to the top five. So yeah, that I think probably decides a lot. If you're picking fourth and, you know, Zach Wilson's on the board,
right,
that could be a much different decision. So I'm fascinated to see where the Lions go from here, because, you know, like the Vikings and Vikings fans have talked a ton about stagnation. You know, Mike Zimmer's been in the building for 7 years. They've always been kind of in the playoffs, but sort of an also ran or 500 or kind of hovering around that, that 9-7, within two games of 9-7, just about every year. You know, you look at that and then you say, well, Stafford's been there for 12 years and it's been about the same kind of stagnation. Do people want to keep Matt Stafford around? I mean, maybe the Lions do if it's like Lou Riddick or whatever, but like, do you guys want to keep Matt Stafford?
I mean, I'd like to see something different. I mean, I'm a fan and a host of this podcast. I'd like to see something different, but I also, you know, the new general manager is going to have to make that call. And you're right. It's either going to be, I'm building around this guy, we're not that far away, or I'm blowing this entire thing up, I'm going to trade Stafford. The Lions right now only have 5 draft picks, so they've traded some away. So Stafford would net you draft capital that you need.
In 2022.
Right. So I don't know. I think people have had enough, and it's not that they hate him. He's had some really good games. He's a warrior. He plays through all these injuries. He's got a rib problem, an ankle problem, and a finger problem right now, and he's probably going to play. So you admire that, but right. 12 years of the same guy, I think, like you mentioned, if a Zach Wilson or Justin Fields were there, I think it would, you know, it'd be some jersey sales and there would be some intrigue about who's under center next year. And it would be a different feel to what has been for the last 12 years, a lot of losing.
Yeah, so I guess we should still try to pick this game. BetOnline.ag has the Vikings minus 6.5. I have no idea what to make of this game, so I guess I'll go homer and say the Vikings cover and go to 7-9 and win their way. I mean, the draft pick for them is much lower leverage than it is when you're in the top 10. They're going from like 9 to 14. They'll get somebody there. But that's a lot different than being between, you know, 4th and 10th, and you're looking at a quarterback more than the Vikings are too. So I'll say the Vikings take it and knock the Lions into the top seven.
I mean, I think the Lions will lose. I think they're going to play really hard, unfortunately, because I'm hoping they lose. I think Stafford will play. I think Marvin Jones wants a little free agency showcase game. DeAndre Swift, they're going to play all these guys. So they're going to try to win. But I think the Lions defense, this will be high scoring because both defenses are so bad. But I think the Lions defense is still worse. And, you know, if Cousins and Jefferson are out there, that could be a lethal combination all day. So I'm with you on the Vikings.
Chasing a record.
Say it again.
Jefferson's chasing a rookie record for the Vikings. He's, I think, like 47 yards behind Randy Moss's rookie season.
Yeah. Passing yards. So that's what I'm thinking, Luke. I think the Vikings will win, too. But I think the Lions will play hard. I don't think it'll be like last Saturday where the Lions just laid down against Tampa Bay. I don't think it'll be that type of game.
Yeah, that was tough.
It was.
Well, I suppose the next time we'll talk, it'll still be our off season now, but we'll talk again later in the off season, Matt. But thank you so much for coming and giving us the skinny on where the Lions are at.
All right, brother. Thank you. Luke Braun, Locked On Vikings, Matt Derry, Locked On Lions, the Thursday crossover.